to a static church that Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, let the church say amen.
Amen.
It is truly indeed a great honor and a privilege to have an opportunity to stand before you this evening. And I'm most thankful to the one who Isaiah 9 expresses to us that his name is to be called Wonderful, that he is the Counselor. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has spared all of us that we might be able to be here again tonight and partake of another portion of his holy and divine word. And I hope, trust, and pray that as we share this engrafted word, the one which we know is able to save men's souls, that someone tonight may be touched, that may be lost and outside of that ark of safety, that they'll be able to step back and come back before it's everlastingly too late. For we know it is appointed unto man to die, and after death, we have a confrontation with the judgment. And so I am truly thankful to the elders and the brothers of the church, also to Brother Jones. I must tell you that each and every time I do this, it's a work in progress for me, so do bear with me. I had an instructor tell me one time, said, don't let it bother you, you're gonna have butterflies. But you would have to attempt to do is have your lead butterfly get them in formation. But I have to tell you tonight that my lead butterfly apparently has been partaking in a nectar that's been fermented, because they are all over the place. But we're going to be okay. I am a very cheerful heart, and I'd just like to express to the visitors tonight that you all are honored guests, and you are within a group of very fascinating and very enduring saints here at Hart Street. I mean, you will find a very close-knit family, one that we're unified in prayer, we're unified in concern, we're unified in compassion. And I just am so thankful for this family, and I come with good news tonight to let you know that on behalf of the Reese and Johnson family, I truly thank you for the prayers on behalf of Anna Johnson. And today, the Lord saw fit to grace her where she could return home. And church, this is the direct result of his grace and your prayers on her behalf. And I am truly thankful deep within my heart. You know, it made me that when I found out earlier this week that she was going to try to come home, I was trying to put together a lesson that was called Run and Tell That. And I hope to be able to do that sometime, because church, when I step into these walls, I have to tell you that there are times that when I look around and I see the grace of God abound in so many people, when I look over and see Sister Sheila, I want to run and tell that. You hear what I'm saying? When I see Sister Mays, I want to go run and tell that. You know, when I understand what Sister Davis is going through and our prayers are going out, his grace abound, I want to run and tell that. You know, when I just look around, there's so many people when I stop to think about what Brother Jones has gone through, and God has brought him such a long way. I just want to run and tell that. And so this is what I'm telling you, is that there is a very unique group of saints here at Hart Street. And so hope and pray that as you come and you share with us this word and share with us this service, that you'll be enriched and you'll be touched, because it touches me each and every time I come through these walls. It touches me each and every time I have a chance to just talk to people, and they'll say, man, you know, what's that brother's name that comes around to see everybody? Man, I tell you what, he is just the best, and it just makes me smile. And you know who I'm talking about, church. I ain't even got to say his name. You know who I'm talking about. And I want to let you know that we are dealing with a group of saints here that we're not perfect, but we're just striving to get there. And I have to tell you that one person asked me, said, well, why do you go to Hart Street? And I said, because I see a group of saints that have what I call spiritual integrity. And Brother Arthur, if you don't mind, I just want to share a story, and I don't know if you remember this, Brother Arthur Davis, but a few years ago, I remember that there was a time that you were selected to do the prayer. And what you did, you had another brother do that prayer until you had an opportunity to come up and do a confession. And brother, I want you to know that lesson was not lost with me. Church, that's what I'm talking about. That's spiritual integrity. For that brother understood that he is praying on the behalf of many that are in need of different things. He understood the importance of him standing before us and leading us in prayer. I mean, that lesson has never been lost with me, and I appreciate you for that. I want you to know that, because those are the things that I think that make this family so unique. I won't belabor the point because I won't keep you very long, but I do just want to touch on a few things, because they tell me that the mind can only comprehend as much as the bottom can tolerate. And so I don't want to keep you here too long, and I don't want to have you up in here and squirming on me, but we just want to share a few things with you and just give you a few things, what thus says the Lord, and then we hope and pray that you'll be able to take this with you. The scripture reading was 2 Peter 3:10, and it said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Church, there's coming a time when this earth shall pass away by fire. And we know here upon this earth that we take a lot of precautions to try to safeguard ourselves in a number of ways. We wear seat belts. We have life vests when we swim. We have smoke detectors. We have goggles that we wear when we're doing things where pieces of metal may be able to beset us. But one thing that we've always been taught as a child, that whenever you are on fire, you are to do what? Stop, drop, and roll. Is that right? Stop, drop, and roll. Church, tonight I am just wanting to share with you those three elements, that if we utilize those elements as we look at it in a spiritual realm to keep us from burning in that last day, we may find a way that we'll be partakers of those wonderful words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Stop, drop, and roll. We are trained to stop, drop, and roll in an effort to stamp out a flame in one's body. So that same principle, as we just said, is related to protecting oneself from the fires of hell. In Luke 16, the 19th verse through the 25th, in verse 23, we see the story of the rich man when he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And this was a man who did not understand the importance of preparing oneself for the judgment and avoiding the fires of hell. Even with all his earthly riches, church, it did not help him at all in that last time. All of the things in which he thought were important were lost. And Matthew 16, 26 tells us, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" It may be hard for us to see as we go day to day, but it is vitally important to stop, drop, and roll, and be able to prepare ourselves for the judgment. So let's take a peek real quickly at these elements as it relates to stop, drop, and roll. And how does this apply to saving our soul? The first element in the fire safety procedure, of course, is to stop. And this is to eliminate the growth of the fire upon the person to be able to consume them. The same principle is applied to what we do as it relates to stopping sin in our lives. James 4 and 7 says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The beauty of that is the first part of that scripture explains to us to submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. One of the principles that we take into check is that stopping the ability for sin to overcome us is all part of a process that if we put into play daily, we will strengthen ourselves as we go along the way. One of the things that I like, or one of my favorite commercials, I don't know, you all probably have seen it, is the orange juice commercial. And that's where at the start of the day, the lady's sitting at the table, and all the things she's going to confront that day are there in front of her. And she's looking over at this one guy, and he says, "Yeah, I'm going to drop a load off in front of your car, and you're going to have to swerve, and you're going to pop a tire." Then there's another person that says, "I'm going to give you grief once you get to work." And I look at that, and I'm thinking, spiritually, we have to almost follow a similar format when we rise up in the day. When you rise up in the morning, sometimes you have those elements that you know you're going to have to deal with. "What are you talking about, Brother Reese?" "Well, all right, I'm going to have to drop my car off to John Q over here, who I know is kind of a shade tree mechanic, and he's always jacking me up every time I go. So rather than me going here wanting to smack him down, let me prepare myself spiritually for what I'm getting ready to deal with." See what I'm saying? Or I'm getting ready to go to work, and I'm dealing with people that, because I'm a minority, they really don't care for me to be in this leadership role. So rather than me going in smacking down Miss Janice because she's going to be in my face, let me prepare myself spiritually before I go there. Our young ladies, you know, "I'm getting ready to go to school, and I don't know why Mad's going to be there in the lunchroom right after fourth period, and Lord knows that man sure is fine. And if he gets up in my face, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me prepare myself before we go out that door spiritually." Do that checklist where you have that connection with the Master. Put yourself in a position whereby that you submit yourself, therefore, to God, and you're able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Peter 2 and 9 tells us, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." I think the beauty of what I find in Matthew 4 is when Christ was tempted by Satan, he told him each and every time, "For it is what? So, church, we find that the answer to a number of our issues and the number of things that we have to confront are found here within the Word. Your ability to stop and resist the devil is directly connected to your study of the Word of God. John 1 tells us that the Word was with God and the Word was. Put that in you, church. Put this Word in. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalms 119 and 105 says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Yes, you know, we're going to have some dark days, church. In John 16, 33, he tells us those days are coming, that we're going to have times of tribulation, but we are to be of good joy because he has overcome this world. You say, well, what are you saying, Brother Reese? I'm telling you that Christ has overcome death. He has overcome anything that you think you might be confronted with. He's overcome anything that you think that you might be able not be able to deal with. Christ has already overcome that. So put him in your heart through his word. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Verse 16, and take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And of course, we all know 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God. Church, we have to understand that in order to take that first step in stopping is getting ourselves into the Word of God. Being in that position where we have that daily checklist where we know that these are the things that are going to confront us, so I'm going to prepare myself before I start the day. One of the things that we've discussed before is the three F's. And you've heard that before from me, and that's before my feet touch the floor, am I in favor? Each and every morning, ask yourself that question. Before my feet touch the floor, am I in favor? And if that's not the case, then go down to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help you get where you need to go. It is important that we make every effort not to sin, church. And if we want to continue in his grace, we must work for it. And it starts with trying not to sin. Because Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is what? Sin equals loss of connection with God. Loss of connection with God equals loss of blessing. In John 5:14 and 8 and 11, we see people that were in need of the grace of Jesus, who once they received it, was told to go and sin no more. In 5:14, the man that had the infirmity for 38 years, once he was healed, he was told to go and sin no more. The woman, 8 and 11, the woman who had the issue of adultery, she was told to go and sin no more. There was an importance of being able to be in that position where you are striving to sin less. Now, he knows that this is a rough road in which we deal with. He knows that this is not going to be an evenly traveled road in which we have to go. But that's why he paid the cost upon Calvary, whereby that we would be able to have that opportunity. So we are able to, in our minds, stop. Make that committed effort to stop. Make that committed effort to start each day with the strengthening ourselves to know what may confront us. Being able to be prepared for those things. The second thing we must do is drop. It is time to submit ourselves to daily prayer and supplication, church. Supplication, Webster tells me, is defined as to ask humbly. You know, our knees should be so sore for those of us that can get down there that we are barely able to walk at times because we are dealing with so many obstacles today. One of the things that we see each and every day is these unexplained mass shootings. We're all so disturbed by those, and we're just overwhelmed with that. And everybody says, well, it's all about gun control. Church is not about gun control. It's about mind control. It's about spirit control. And it has been said that once we took the Bible out of the schools, that there was going to be an opportunity that we one day will have to be confronted with this. You know, I thought I had picked it up, but when I was looking before I came up, but I think it was Martin Luther King that basically had a saying, and I'm just paraphrasing, but it basically just said that once we decided to make it where that our students no longer connected with God, then that we were going to have to deal with that. And it was, I'm so sorry if I have that, I'll try to read it for you, because it was just a beautiful, beautiful saying in which I thought that I had included. But I apologize. But he was so correct in that statement being made sometime, I think it was in 63, to look today to see what we're dealing with. And so one of the things we have to do is be in daily prayer, be on our knees, and understand that it was important for Christ to pray. Christ prayed at the most crucial points in his life. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was getting ready to take on this monumental task for mankind, he prayed. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing and to in all things to give thanks. Luke 18:1 says, always pray and faint not. That means not to lose heart. When we look at Christ before he was able to establish the apostles, he went to God in prayer. Prayer is such an important element. So we stop and then we drop. Acts 12:5, Peter was in prison and he prayed without ceasing. The people in the church prayed for him. And then James 5:16 tells us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer, a prayer that is intensely earnest. The effectual prayer, meaning producing or having the capability to produce. Oftentimes we have to realize that in his explanation of us, or to us, in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, if you go humbly to him, you know, oftentimes we get that attitude, well, I pray, so it should be, because I am. That's not what he means by humbling ourselves in the sight, and he will lift us up. We ask him in humble earnest, knowing that we have the faith that if it is his will, he will. But not that he has to, just if it is his will, he will. Church, when I think about all the many people that we named earlier, that we've seen the grace abound here, there is no doubt in my mind that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And I think that's one of the things that God allows us to see. It's like when they did the miracles, when Christ did the miracles, one of the reasons was because they didn't have the word at that time. So mankind needed something they could reach out and see and touch and understand the power of God. We see that happening here. When I look at Sister Molly, I see that happening here. Look at Brother Jones, I see that happening here. The power of prayer. Stop sinning, drop, submit yourself to God daily in prayer. And then the last one is role. Role is defined as a function assumed by someone, R-O-L-E, or role, R-O-L-L, is to make progress, to register, or acclimate, or increase in velocity. The role of a child of God is to work and to live faithful unto death. James 2:17 says, faith without works is what? Dead. Ecclesiastes 12:13 lets us know what our whole duty is, and that is to fear him and to keep his commandments. Church is pretty simple. Understanding what is our role, what is our mission, why were we here? That is our role. And if we do this until death, we will place our name upon the book of life, which is then the R-O-L-E. Revelations 20:12 gives us that explanation and explains that to us. And also Revelations 22:12, our reward will be according to the works that we do here upon this earth. And then one of the most important and poignant roles. Would someone get for me Matthew 27? And I believe the verse I need is 58 through 60.
He went to Pilate.
Now, hold on 1 second. Yes, sir, go ahead.
He went to Pilate, he begged the body of Jesus, then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered.
Yes, sir.
And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock.
Yes, sir.
And he rolled a great stone.
He did what now?
He rolled a great stone.
All right.
Of the sepulcher.
All right.
And departed.
All right.
And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher.
All right.
Now the next day that follows the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate.
All right.
Saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again.
How many days?
After 3 days, I will rise again.
All right, go down to 28:2 for me.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven.
Yes, sir.
And came and rolled back the stone from the door.
He did what?
Roll
back the stone from the door.
And sat upon it.
Sat upon it. Thank you, Brother Jones. We heard in verse 60 where the stone was rolled in front of the door. We heard in verse 2 where the stone was rolled from the door. Given the testament to mankind that Christ died, that he was buried, and what church? That he arose. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The answer to the greatest spiritual equation known to mankind. One cross, three nails, equaled forgiven. Roll. Stop, drop, roll. Church, you have an opportunity this evening to put your name on the R-O-L-E. You have an opportunity to have an understanding and confess that you have in your heart the belief of the R-O-L-L, that those stones were rolled one way and then rolled another, that our Christ is arisen and that he is the Son of God. All you have to do is make that confession, the sweetest confession to be made on all mortal tongue. Go down with him in that watery grave of baptism and rise up a new creature. And walk steadfastly and live faithful unto death, and you shall receive that crown of life. And you have put into practice the earthly concept of putting out the earthly fire, which allow you to not be consumed by that spiritual fire in the last day. Stop, drop, and roll. If you are a member of the body of Christ and find yourself just a short distance from him, if you find yourself in that you haven't stopped the way that you should have, that you haven't found yourself starting that morning with those three F's, if you find yourself not going daily, making that checklist and preparing yourself for the obstacles that you're going to have to deal with, all you have to do is come back and confess your faults, ask the prayers of the church, and you will be restored. If you find yourself in either one of those categories, let it be today that we put into practice that precaution for that spiritual safety of stop, dropping, and roll. And please do so as we together come together and sing. I surrender.